Well, I wonder if you've sung your favourite Christmas carol yet. We've still got a few more to go, but it is wonderful, isn't it, at this time of year, with candles all around, to be praising, to be singing, and remembering those carols that, well, we've been singing many, many years, however many Christmases we've been able to celebrate. But today, I would like us to give a little bit of thought to the oldest Christmas carol that exists. Now, I wonder if anybody knows what is the oldest Christmas carol. I may be wrong, but I believe it is the carol or the song that was just read for us from Luke's Gospel, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, sings this extraordinary song when she finds out she is expecting. And then she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And she sings out this song, which I think is the first Christmas carol. Now, the song is known as the Magnificat, or Mary's Song. Magnificat means to magnify the Lord, because that's what she says at the very beginning. My soul magnifies, or my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, as I've been thinking about this text, this song, this Christmas carol that Mary sang 2,000 years ago, I've been asking myself, how is it that she could be so filled with joy that she would just burst out into song like this? And I have found myself asking the question, do I ever feel such joy, such happiness, that I will just sing out in praise to God? I don't know about you, but as we consider this last year, 2021, and perhaps the last couple of years, it's been a challenging year for many of us, hasn't it? I don't know if you have felt this year like praising God and worshiping and just crying out to Him, my soul magnifies and glorifies the Lord, because we've faced so many challenges through this year. Of course, there's this global pandemic, and we thought until a few weeks ago that maybe we were seeing the end or moving in the right direction, and then suddenly we hear of a new variant and, well, all of our plans, Christmas plans, in turmoil, and we wonder what's going to happen for the next weeks, the next months. Someone said to me recently, just feels like I just want to hibernate. Go into hibernation. Wake me up in the spring when all of this is over. I don't know if some of us can relate to that. But as we, perhaps over the next week or so, we'll watch different TV programs, reviews of the year. It's not going to be great and exciting TV, is it? Maybe this evening, the sports personality of the year. Well, that will be fun to watch until we get to the Euros and we see again that we lose on penalties, or we won't even mention the cricket at the moment. Maybe that's not worth talking about if you're English. But this year has been so difficult, so challenging. I wonder if we could be tempted even to say, hey, Mary, it's all very well, you 2,000 years ago, crying out and worshiping the Lord, but you weren't in the midst of a global pandemic. You weren't facing all the challenges that we are facing today. Well, let's remind ourselves of the situation that Mary finds herself in. This young lady, probably 14 or 15 years old, engaged to be married to Joseph the carpenter, and it's found out that she's expecting a baby. Can you imagine the scandal in that small town of Nazareth 2,000 years ago? The gossiping, the rumors going around, people pointing the finger and whispering things behind her back, maybe saying things to her face. Think of poor Joseph. Joseph is engaged to be married, and he finds out that his fiance is pregnant, and he knows that he's not the father. Must have been very difficult for him, and it can't have been an easy time for Mary. And I'd love to be able to go back 2,000 years and say, Mary, in the midst of all you were facing personally, how could you cry out, My soul magnifies the Lord. I glorify the Lord. I worship him. I extol him. I praise him. How could you be so full of joy when you were facing quite some personal uncertainty? How could you burst into song at that time? Well, maybe we can allow Mary to answer that question in her own words, because we have this song that she sings. And she begins, as we heard read just now in verse 48, "How can I glorify or magnify the Lord? Because God is mindful of me." He's mindful of the humble state of his servant. And if we stop and consider this, Mary, who is growing up in that little town just in a remote corner of the Roman Empire, and she is saying, "Who am I? Who am I that God, the creator of the heavens and earth, should notice me? He's seen me. He's thinking of me. He's had regard to me. He's looking upon me with favor. He cares for me. He's mindful of me." It reminds me of one of the Psalms, Psalm 139, where we read how we are wonderfully and fearfully made, how God has created us, how he knows everything about us. He's created our inmost being. All of our days are ordained. He knows everything about us, and he still loves us. He knows our words. He knows our deeds. He even knows our thoughts. He knows every hair on our heads. God knows everything about us. He is mindful of us, as he was mindful of Mary. And he loves us, and he cares for us. And we might say, well, we think of this last year, and we remember all that we are facing, the challenges, the difficulties, the frustrating circumstances. And we can say, if God really loves us, why does he allow these things to happen? Why doesn't he make our lives just a little bit easier, a little bit better? Well, these are good questions. And perhaps we can again turn to Mary and say, "Hey, Mary, how is it that you were able to worship God? What was your secret in the midst of the challenges that you were facing?" We read in verse 48 that Mary says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And we stop and think, really? Mary, remember what those people in Nazareth have been saying about you. Remembering how they've been whispering behind your back. Remember, they've been spreading rumors about you. Mary, you must be concerned. Will people ever believe the truth about this pregnancy? Will Joseph still want to marry you? Will these rumors and this scandal follow you for the rest of your life? Mary, surely this is your present circumstance and situation, and this is serious. And yet somehow Mary is able to look beyond her personal situation. Yes, she's facing challenges, but her eyes are fixed upon God. She recognizes that God is mindful of her. God cares for her. He knows her. But she also recognizes that God has a plan. God has a purpose. He is in control. She goes on in the next words of this song, the great Magnificat, and she says, "God, you are merciful. God, you are all-powerful. You are the sovereign Lord, and you are in control. And I trust that you are fulfilling your plans and your purposes, even though, for me personally, well, it's quite a challenging time." You see, Mary somehow seems to be able to look up and look beyond her own personal situation, and she sees God, and she trusts God because she knows that he is mindful of her. He cares for her. He knows what is best for her. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And she says, "I trust God. I put my trust in him. My soul will magnify, glorify. I will rejoice in him. I will praise him because he has a plan. And then I have to ask Mary, Mary, what's your plan? Or what do you think God's plan is? You see, Mary had grown up, as all Israelites had grown up, hearing the ancient stories of their ancestors. 2,000 years or so before Mary, we have Abraham and then Isaac, Jacob, and the people of Israel are formed. And the stories of how God interacts with his people are passed down through the generations. We go back 1,000 years before Mary and we have King David. We go back 700 years before Mary and we have the prophet Isaiah speaking out, warning the people of God how they should live, but also speaking about what will come. And we've already heard one of the readings from Isaiah chapter 9. But in Isaiah 7, and Mary would have known these words, where Isaiah is speaking about the future, and he says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. The virgin will be with son, will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And then we go on to that verse we read earlier from Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born. This is written and prophesied 700 years before Mary lived. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mary would have heard those stories, those prophecies handed down through the generations, and now she recognizes that God's promised plan was being fulfilled in and through her. It's no longer just an ancient story, but the true living word of God is working out in and through her. That's how Mary was able to sing, because she knew that God was doing something extraordinary. She knew that what was about to happen was so incredibly special and significant, the very center of human history. God was on the move, and somehow he was choosing to work in and through Mary to accomplish his purposes. And she recognizes this, and she cries out, may my soul magnify the Lord. God was on the move. And as I think of those words, I think of C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Maybe some of you will recognize what I'm talking about here, this allegory of Christianity that C.S. Lewis writes, and he describes, doesn't he, this lion, Aslan, this picture of Jesus. But before the children, the heroes of the story, or the main characters of the story, before they meet Aslan, they're in a conversation with the beavers, the beaver family. Listen to what Mr. Beaver says. I've never said that in a sermon before. Listen to what Mr. Beaver says. They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps he's already landed. And now a very curious thing happened. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. But the moment the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside. And then Lewis goes on to write about Edmund, one of the boys, feeling a sensation of mysterious horror, and Peter feeling suddenly brave and adventurous, and Susan it felt as if some delicious smell or some delightful strain of music had just floated by, and Lucy felt like it was the beginning of the summer holidays. They recognized something was about to happen. Aslan was on the move. And it seems to me that C.S. Lewis has captured perhaps something of what Mary recognized at that moment as well. God is on the move. God is about to do something extraordinary. And I don't know about you, but when I came into this building and very atmospheric with the candles and the lights and singing the songs, the hymns that, well, many of us have sung for many, many years. You know, we all sense, don't we, that Christmas is a very special time of year. That we can't ignore the reality of Christmas. Of course, for weeks and weeks, the shops have been full of all sorts of festive displays. The adverts on the TV kind of change and become very festive, and Strictly Come Dancing comes to a finale, and all of this happens at this time of year. We all rush home and see Sports Personality of the Year shortly. Christmas movies start coming on TV. Houses get decorated. Christmas jumpers are worn. We have parties, although we're not allowed to mention parties, or they don't exist. They never happen. But we all know, yes, Christmas is special, but there's a reason that we have that feeling it's special, because it's so much more. It's so much more, actually, even than Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and a star and sheep and a stable. It's so much more than that, because Christmas actually is God's plan, God doing something extraordinary, breaking into the world, the central point in all of human history. It's not just about candles and trees and talking snowmen and presents and food and carols and TV. It's about God so loving the world that he sent his only son, Jesus. Christmas, it's all about Jesus. And I wonder if, as we sit here this evening, this afternoon, this evening, as we go about our business this next week, I wonder if we need to be reminded of this central truth of what it's actually all about. God has come to us. Emmanuel, God is with us. This is God's plan. Mary recognized this was God's plan. She recognized she was a part of God's plan, despite her own personal circumstances. She knew that God was in control, that God was working things out. He was sending his son into the world to be born in the humblest of conditions. And his son was to live and to teach and to heal and to demonstrate the love of God and even give his own life to show how much he loved people, to make everything right, to restore the broken relationship between God and humankind. Pain, anger, separation, even death itself was defeated because of Jesus. Christmas, the central point of human history, God sending his son, Jesus. This is the good news of Christmas. And this was why Mary was able to cry out, "My soul magnifies, glorifies, rejoices in the Lord." Well, finally, as I close, towards the end of Mary's song, well, I couldn't help but notice this. "He's filled the hungry with good things," she says, "and has sent the rich away empty." And as we're thinking about Christmas, I'm challenged by this. You know, I ask myself, what am I hungry for this Christmas? I'll ask you the same question. What are you hungry for? What are you going to fill your life with this Christmas? What are you going to fill your life with into a new year? Who is going to be at the center of your Christmas? The problem when we take Christ out of Christmas, all we have left is M&S. Who's at the center of my Christmas? Who's at the center of my life? Who's at the center of your life? God has given the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And we're all invited to receive that gift and allow his love to fill our hearts. You know, even if this last year has been really difficult, even if the next year, well, nobody knows what the next year holds for us. But I believe we can sing together with Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul rejoices in the Lord. I extol, I glorify the Lord. I praise you, Lord. I live my life for you because you're mindful of me, because you love me, because you care for me so much that you sent Jesus. And I trust you. I trust your plans and your purposes. I trust that you are sovereign. You are in control, even when it all looks messed up. Lord, help me to look up to see you and not just to concentrate on my own needs and my own situation. Lord, I trust your plans. Lord, I trust your purposes for me, whatever the circumstances." We can sing together with Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord," because God has sent his son Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about.